Reforming Social Security is at the top of President Bush's domestic agenda for his second term. Discussing that reform on the campaign trail, the president consistently advocated the idea of allowing young workers to divert part of their payroll tax into private accounts.
We're also going to strengthen Social Security for a younger generation. Our youngsters ought to be allowed to take some of their payroll taxes and set up a personal savings account. They call their own an account the government cannot take away.
The pros and cons of private accounts attached to Social Security have dominated the debate over reform of the giant retirement system. They could, over the long term, help put Social Security on a sounder financial footing. But as NPR's John Itzde reports, private accounts do not necessarily solve the most immediate problem facing Social Security, the prospect of insolvency.
Over the next 75 years, the Social Security program faces a nearly $4 trillion gap between its projected income and the benefits promised under current law. Closing that gap is the main challenge facing the president and the Congress, says John Chauvin, director of the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research.
Once you focus on that as the problem, that it doesn't have enough money, then any solution has to have one or the other of the following two features. It has to cut the promised benefits, or it has to raise more money. And any proposal where you can't find any benefit cuts and you can't find any new revenues, it's smoke and mirrors.
Chauvin actually supports the idea of making private accounts a part of Social Security, but he says they do not directly address the fundamental issue of solvency. Brookings Institution economist Peter Orszag, who opposes private accounts, agrees.
Despite all of the talk about individual accounts changing that basic calculus, the fact of the matter is those are the only two real choices, reducing benefits and raising revenue.
Orszag and Peter Diamond, an MIT economist, have developed a plan that keeps the Social Security program solvent over the next 75 years and beyond, and it doesn't include private accounts. It does include a small reduction in promised benefits, but only for workers currently under 55 years of age.
Even for a 35-year-old today, the benefit reduction compared to what's promised under the current system is 4.5%.
The plan also gradually raises the payroll tax, increasing it by just under 2 percentage points over the next 50 years. In addition, higher-income Americans would be faced with a new tax. Currently, they pay no payroll tax on income over $87,900. But under the Orszag-Diamond proposal, higher-income Americans face a new 3% payroll tax on all their income above that cap. John Chauvin acknowledges the Orszag-Diamond plan does solve Social Security's financial problems.
There are a number of plans that will close the gap. Theirs does it. Theirs is what I would refer to as a soak-the-rich plan. You got to soak somebody, so I don't mean that as, they just made a choice.
Chauvin points out that option two from President Bush's Social Security Commission also credibly closes the retirement program's nearly $4 trillion gap. It accomplishes the task by linking future benefit increases to price inflation rather than wage increases, which is the formula under current law. The plan also includes voluntary private accounts that would be invested in stocks and bonds. Young workers could divert 4 percentage points or up to $1,000 of their annual payroll tax into the accounts. But that would require borrowing as much as $2 trillion to keep paying benefits to current retirees. There's little doubt individual Americans would benefit from greater retirement savings in private accounts. But Peter Orszag argues the benefits would best be gained outside the Social Security system. Both Chauvin and Orszag agree that whether it should be accomplished inside Social Security or separately in IRAs and 401ks is a different debate from how to make Social Security solvent. And Orszag says if you separate out the issue of private accounts, putting the retirement program on a sound footing is not a difficult financial challenge.
The Social Security deficit over the next 75 years is 0.7% of the size of the economy. That's less than 1% of the size of the economy. It's a third as large as the president's tax cuts. So there is a deficit that needs to be addressed, but it's not an overwhelming deficit.
One of the reasons that reforming Social Security has seemed so overwhelming, says Orszag, is that its problems are often lumped together with the challenges facing Medicare and Medicaid.
the costs in those programs go up by about 10% of GDP. That's where the real budget problem lies. In fact, one of the biggest benefits from reforming Social Security is simply to take the issue off the table so that we'll start to focus on the real problem, which is Medicare and Medicaid, and which, by the way, is not only grows in cost much more than Social Security, but also is much more difficult to reform because it involves changes to the broader healthcare market that, frankly, no one has really figured out.
But the political challenge of reforming Social Security should not be underestimated. Though private accounts may not be central to solving the program's financial problems, there's little chance the president would sign any bill that did not include them. John Idsty, NPR News, Washington.
Outlines of alternative proposals for making Social Security solvent are at npr.org.